World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, that'd be me. I'm doing a little bit of typing here as the intro is playing. Now, bear with me a second. A little bit of stress here. What is this thing? Six. I'm sending this to Jared right now. Crazy, man. I get up this morning. I get up. Good morning. How you doing out there? It's crazy. While you've been sleeping, I've been trying to put a show together. And thank God for his great sleep last night. Wow, Lord, I just thank you for that. I got up this morning and I'm doing some show prep, which I try to do. I don't just try to do conspiracy theorist stuff here. I try to I play it and let you think about it. You do what you want to do with it, right? I don't know. I don't need that up here yet, Spence. And so this morning I got a brand new computer. I had to go get a computer because my other one, I have one down here in my multi-million dollar studio, but the one laptop I work on upstairs is, it's an old one. It needs, so I sucked it up when I bought a new computer, and this morning I get on my new computer and I'm doing show prep. And you know, I do show you a lot of videos, a lot of things like that. So before I show you a video, I got to listen to it. Well, lo and behold, no sound on my brand new computer. And of course I'm about as tech savvy as a frog. So I just kind of, I didn't know what to do. So got me a little bit behind here today. Although there is more stuff to be spoken about, talked about, discussed today, then I'm telling you, than any time since I've been alive. I don't have time to think about the Browns and how the Browns got beat on Sunday and the Bengals and Pete Rose dying and oh man, maybe you can get this one ready for me because I'm going to play this. Chris Christopherson dying. I was one of the first Chris Christopherson fans in all the world. Why me, Lord? See if you can find that up there, Spencer. Why me, Lord? And man, things are just coming from a thousand different. Does anybody feel like that other than me? Does anybody feel like an acceleration of something going on? Now, I could get Craig in here, and Craig can start telling us about the fact that there is an acceleration going on. It's really, really, there's something going on, folks. Something really grand solar minimum and all that stuff and seeing now a new moon. There's all kinds of stuff going on, right? All kinds of stuff going on. And I want to play this real quick. Where's Pete Rose today? Where's Pete Rose? Charlie Hustle. They say he was a despicable human being. He couldn't conquer his own sins and his own lusts. But he got more hits than anybody that ever played the game. He initiated something called Charlie Hustle. He initiated a love and a competitiveness and a never quit attitude in baseball. When I was growing up in the 70s, a big red machine, Pete Rose was the guy. And then, you know, he got into gambling and who knows what else he got into. Cause again, he's probably a despicable human being because a guy who's driven like that is what you can't, it's hard to turn it off. It's hard to turn it off. Wants a lot of women, wants to gamble, he always wants to live on the edge. And that's probably what made him so great. Well, he died yesterday, I think, at 84 years old. And it's really kind of sad that he didn't make it into the Hall of Fame. You have any idea how many scoundrels there are in the baseball? Ty Cobb, they say Ty Cobb was almost subhuman, but he's a hero. The Georgia Peach down there, right, Pastor Clint? Georgia Peach. And Pete Rose died without ever making it into the, seeing himself going to the Hall of Fame. He probably did some despicable stuff. Probably did. But they'll never erase the fact that who he was. And Chris Christopherson, I'm going to play this song just because I really, really, just always really loved this song. And there's a video online. I'm not going to play it now. Chris Christopherson talking about his born again experience. He didn't even know what it was. I'm not sure he knew. He really knows what. I mean, he just said all of a sudden he was at this church and went forward and raised his hand and it was a born again experience. I don't even know if he ever did it. But I always loved this song. In my opinion, one of the greatest songs ever written. Why Me, Lord? Go ahead and play that. In honor of Pete Rose and Chris Christopherson, they're all starting to drop like flies. They're dying every day. Can you believe, hey, folks, can you believe our generation? We're in the 80s. Can you believe that?
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. Our generation, man. They're old men. They're dying off. Oh, Pete Rose? Are you kidding me? How did Pete Rose die? He couldn't die. Could he? Yeah, he could. Good. Play this real quick.
You deserve even one of the pleasures I've known. Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown?
That's a bad version of playing that. See if you can find us another one. I'll go ahead and talk here for a minute. This is really a pretty deep song. Yeah, pull that one up and see what. Why Me, Lord? Yeah, that's a good one with Willie Nelson.
And Chris, before this is the one do it. I'd like
going out there, Kevin. This is one where he gives his testimony. If you guys haven't seen this, it's pretty powerful. He gives his testimony about receiving Jesus, and then they're gonna do Why Me, Lord. Right about there is good support.
Hope I don't mess up the band again.
Ask yourself this, why you, Lord? Why me, Lord?
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted. So help me, Jesus, I know.
You know what you are?
Now that I know that I need it, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I go through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted so. Souls in your hand.
That's a pretty profound song, isn't it? The simplicity, the profundity of its simplicity. Think we are. I was following a little bit of what been going on down there in Tennessee and North Carolina and the horrificness. I don't even think that's a word. The horrificness of what some of those people are discovering down there as a result of the flood. Mudslides, houses up on top of the hill that have disappeared. Nobody knows where those people are. Digging them out. Entire neighborhood's gone. Why me, Lord? Huh? Why me, Lord? See, Bible tells us tomorrow's promised to no man. And Chris Christopherson's standing before the Lord, and Pete Rose is standing before the Lord, and Clint Eastwood's standing before the Lord. Think God cares how many hits Pete got? How many movies Clint made? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. I wasted it. Ever feel like that? You wasted your life? I'm 71. I look back and say, oh, Lord, what I could have done. What I did, but oh, what I could have done. If I only knew then what I know now, Lord, what I could have done. Because at the end of the day, it's about what you've done to advance the kingdom. See, none of us really know what's on the other side. We don't really know. Heaven, hell, purgatory, giants, we don't know. We don't know. But I'm more convinced than ever that there's something on the other side of this thing. Something on the other side. Is it a system of rewards and punishments? Is it glorious? Is it hell? What is it? I don't know. I was thinking about those hurricanes. I'm sure you guys have watched a lot of the video. The power. They want to call it Mother Nature. The power of weather. And how it's created and what it does. And where did all that water come from? How come there's no water? There was no water up here in Ohio forever and ever and ever, like all summer. And boom, they dropped 52 inches in one of those towns. You understand that? 52 inches of rain come down out of the mountains. Can you imagine the force and the power? I don't think we can even undermine. I would say that there will be people who will be having horrendous nightmares for the rest of their lives, laying in bed. Those that survived, laying in bed and wondering, is our roof going to leak? And next thing, house swept away. Good time to get right with the Lord, isn't it, huh? I mean, really, it is. We talk about that. Talk about our good life. We got everything all set up and mortgages paid off. And yeah, tomorrow promised to no man. I don't mean to be melancholy today, but there's a, folks, there's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, baby. It's a man with a gun over there. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. Roger Weaver went last night to the meeting. I want him to give us a quick report on. He went to the school board meeting last night in Westerville City Schools about the removal of, what do they call that? My brain went dead.
Lifewise.
Where heaven forbid the Christians would just want to get the opportunity to teach Christianity to volunteers, to those kids, only those kids who want to. Heaven forbid that the school would permit them, those children, to go off campus and be educated in the things of the Bible. Oh, heaven forbid, while there are prayer shawls and prayer coverings and prayer places in the public schools for the Muslims, and we are so powerless to do anything about it. The body of Christ is powerless to do anything about it. Can you imagine if they said, we're not taking off Martin Luther King Day? Can you imagine the uproar they would have? These people, we just want our kids one day a week to be able to leave school and go and hear about Jesus and then come back. Can you imagine if we said no to the Muslims in their prayer time and their prayer? What is going on with Christianity that we're so weak? So, Roger, give us an update as everybody went and groveled and begged, oh, please, Mr. Government. Oh, please, school board, let us talk about Jesus. Oh, please, oh, please. We're in a mess, aren't we, Roger?
Dave, you taught me and others long ago to be a boot on the ground. And last night, I wanted to be a boot on the ground and went to the Westerville School System board meeting. And it kind of overwhelmed me with a certain amount of where we are. Good turnout. The folks in black, and I'm literally meaning they were all dressed in black who were opposed to it. It was interesting. they had the front row seats, 3 and 4 deep. You know, they got there at 4 o'clock. You know, the meeting
they're committed to their calls, aren't they, baby? Huh?
Yeah, they're at 4. They're organized, and LifeWise, bless their heart, they had a good turnout of nice people in red shirts and sitting very politely, listening to what's going on. And there was an overflow room. It was pretty clear from the onset that LifeWise got in the game too late. You know, they had a great turnout last night, but they needed a great turnout about 2 months ago.
Yes.
But the thing that really puzzled me was literally the first 7, 8, or 9 speakers really on both sides were women. Okay. And then
we love women here, Roger. I married one.
I don't mean that harshly. It's more of where are the men? And generally speaking, it started out 2 months ago. It was an insurance issue. Then it became, bullying issue, disruption of the school. I tried to speak, but there was 48 people ahead of me for 5 minutes, and they had filled up. But the lack of a fierceness of the fight, Dave. Ladies, bless their hearts, they did a wonderful job. I walked by 2 guys that had their LifeWise shirt on and were, you know, I looked at them and I was walking around or out. I said, does LifeWise have any men that are going to speak or anything? I mean, that's how bad it was.
I mean, real men too, Rob, right? Not real men, not men who act like women. Some real men.
No. These were kind of burly looking guys. One had a flag hat. I said, does LifeWise have any men that are going to stand up and speak? And they kind of looked at me like I had insulted them or something. But it is rather clear that the simple procedure of your child walking out at lunch, getting on a bus for 45 minutes and walking back is not allowed in Westerville City School System. I don't know where constitutionally this is all going to go. Release time is a valid thing that a school can do. You had 6, basically, I'm sorry to say this, but I think the school board was 7 all women. I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm just facts.
It's reality of it. You can count.
Just the reality of it. So I think I left there. When I was leaving, it really bothered me. There was 12 Muslims praying in this open space in the building for whatever they do at 8 o'clock, whatever time it is. And I just thought, this is unbelievable.
They were praying there as the school board meeting is going on.
Yeah, right. On their mats and stuff. And then I quickly went, I believe almost every school system has designated rooms for the Muslims to pray during the day. And, maybe we should ask for a Christian designated room. But I guess I left there, Dave, with a general thought. Get your kids out of government schools. I wish I could have said I left there saying things can change, but I left there with get the kids out of the public, of the government schools. The schools are in terrible shape. They really are. But as we said, Friday night, baby, hot dog and popcorn. So,
amen.
You know, that's kind of what took place at the Westerville City Schools, in my humble opinion.
Church is a toothless tiger, is it not, Roger? Toothless tiger, begging for our place at the table. Folks, do we make them load up the homosexuals and take them off campus to talk about homosexuality, or do they bring that right in and teach it to every kid during school? And LifeWise just wants to be able to take the kids off campus and teach them about Jesus, and you can't even have that.
You know, Dave, and the other thing was, there's always some, pardon my expression, there's always some old Presbyterian hag pastor there that gives her opinion on something. And she said something like, well, and another lady was saying, well, the kids should be just learning more history of the country, of the world.
They shouldn't hear about Jesus, right?
Yeah, and I was thinking, there is no greater historical figure than Jesus Christ, our Savior. Forget about the cross if you want to. Yeah. Just, you know, the Hindus recognize him. The Muslims recognize him. Recognizes Jesus. They just don't believe in the cross. And I'm thinking, you can't be this stupid to say that comment. The greatest historical figure in the world ever and he can't be mentioned.
Not even mentioned in school. You can't even go off campus to hear about him, right? Hey, Rob, again, just out of curiosity, you know where the old coach lays, right? How many pastors do you think were there, Rob?
I was there for a couple hours, did not hear one pastor of a church speak. Didn't, I heard some pastors who looked and dressed and thought like lunatics, but, you know, they were not really from churches. They were just like, you know, seminary trained and showed up and had their little neck thing on, the little white thing going around the neck. But no, I did not see any local pastor. There's some big churches up there. There are some real big churches up there.
Real big ones. As far as we know, then no decision was made last night, Roger, or did they vote?
No. It Jack Windsor, who does a lot of good stuff in Ohio, said they voted it out. That was unanimous vote out.
Unbelievable. Unanimous.
Yeah.
Unanimous. Lauren. Thanks, Roger. Lorraine, you there, dear? Jeff Klein, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had problems.
There
with
you
my
go.
Phone. Yeah, thank you very much. So this is just a thought. Since they won't provide a room for any of the Christian kids to go pray, it's a room for prayer, right? It's a designated room for prayer.
Yeah, we ought to assume for about $80 million. If I lived in the district, that's what I would do. Go ahead.
Well, outside of that, so to solve it, what in where there's a Christian kid that wants to go in there and pray, since they won't allow them a place to go pray, they go in there and they sit down and they pray, because they're praying. If the Muslims are praying, they should be able to pray. What if, when you see at school board meetings, if they're laying their mats down and they're praying, you go stand next to them and you go pray? It doesn't mean you have to infringe on what they're doing, but you're standing there going in and you are praying. I mean, what about that move?
Well, what about that move? How about we put Christ back in the schools, period? That's what I'm so tired of crumbs from their table. I'm so sick and tired of being treated like a second class citizen. Whether you understand this or not, friends, your children, when they go into public schools, are weird. They're our granddaughter plays volleyball on the local middle school team. She's homeschooled, and she goes and plays on the school volleyball team because you're allowed to do that. And she ain't part of anything. She's not part of anything. She's weird. She's homeschooled. Oh, that's weird, right? It's not the queers that are weird. It's not the butt cakes that are weird. No, it's her, because she happens to serve the Lord. And see, if you folks, come on now. Understand the all-out assault against Christianity. It's not against Islam. It's not against all these minority religions. It's a war against Christianity. And we, who are supposed to be expanding the gospel, going into all the world and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and the promise from Jesus Christ himself that you would be hated of all men. Can you believe in America today, pastors allow children have to fight the fight? Can you believe that?
Boom.
Pastors let the children fight the fight in the public schools, rather than showing up and saying, no, these are my children, these are my schools, these are my tax dollars, and you will not do that to my children. That wouldn't be very Christian, would it, folks? Sissified, wimpy, unbelievable. I'm glad I didn't go last night, Roger. They'd have taken me out of there in a straitjacket.
David, and this will be my last comment, but The LifeWise red shirt people, good, nice looking people, and they just sat in their chairs compliant.
Yep. That's what the churches have taught us. Obey the government, Romans 13. Oh my goodness. Jesus, that'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, throw you into the deepest part of the ocean. And to teach those little boys and girls that there ain't no God. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. FCA.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes. What a joke. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, at one time it was good. At least in Mount Vernon Middle School, people probably don't know this, but we got to go in on the lunch hour. So you had fifth graders, sixth grade, or sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, three groups. Freshwater and I would sit on the stage, watch them eat their lunch. And then when we get about 2 minutes of ready to release them, we get down to the music room. They come down the hallway. You either turn left and go in the music room, or we're out there high-fiving kids for SCA, or you get straight out the set of doors to the playground. We'd always have 40 to 50 kids turn left, and they come in. And they weren't all Christian kids. Some of them were little heathens. But we get 6 to 8 minutes to share Jesus with them. Then, boom, we send them off. We go sit on the stage, wait for the next group. We do that every Tuesday afternoon in the school.
And they got rid of John Freshwater. They got rid of him.
Yep. And the pastors would no-show him. That's why I'd sit on the stage with him about 8 or 10 times for the year. He'd look at me and he'd say, well, we got no-showed again. He said, you're up, JC. And I'd be like, oh, here we go.
And in other words, you'd invite a pastor to come to address the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they wouldn't come.
Right. Lots of times.
Yep.
So here's what I'm thinking. Yesterday, posted Mount Vernon Schools. Are they loading up on psychiatrists in the schools? Because these kids want to kill themselves.
Oh, good.
Suicide, drug overdoses. It listed all the problems these kids have. 22% of the kids in the schools have thought about killing themselves. Now, I wonder why. So what did we do? We said, okay, let's just take the kids on down the road here. Let's get them out of there for 45 minutes. Here's what we ought to do. This October is Suicide Prevention Month. Let's go take our Bible and stand on the sidewalk outside the school and ask the kids, like, our pretzel guy does. Need prayer? Ask me. It's October, Suicide Prevention Month, but they want to do it psychiatrists.
Yeah. Christianity and Christians are second-class citizens. Let there be no, that is the one group that it is okay to discriminate against. You do get that, right? It's okay to discriminate against Christians. We're the majority, and they discriminate. By the way, they discriminate against us because we are the majority. See, everything that everywhere you look, minority this, minority, right? Everywhere you look, everywhere you look. And that's all done to destroy the fabric of America. Beth Yates, come on in, Beth.
Something that boils my blood is when parents justify sending their kids to public schools saying, well, they're just being a light. They're just being missionaries. They are lambs before the slaughter. And any adult that tells me that their kid is a light and a missionary, if the parents are not equipped to be missionaries, then how are their kids equipped to be missionaries?
Amen. Amen. Well, Beth, it's worse than that. See, the whole inflation, all the stuff that's going on is forcing people to have to go into public schools because they can't afford to pay for private education. Well, see, there are so many of these battles that we could win. Number one would be the tax dollars follow the child. So if my child goes to Fairfield Christian Academy, the money comes out of the public school and goes with my child because it's my tax dollars, and it's my tax dollars allotted to that child. And then if they let that happen, we'd have Christian schools popping up all over the place. But see, parents are so stupid. They say, well, where would we find the teachers? The teachers in the schools, why, they're educated. Where would we find our teachers? You guys ever heard of the internet? How stupid are you? How stupid are we? Everything that you could ever do, you could do a lesson at home on the internet. There's all kinds of programs out there. But no, no, no. Can we have some more porridge, please? Please, Mr. Principal. Please, Mr. Superintendent. Can we have a prayer session, please? It's unbelievable. Dale, come on in.
Oh, I was going to say real quick.
I'll keep going. I'm sorry, Beth.
It's okay. Our school actually did that back when we had a school at our church. We were able to let the special needs students come to our schools, and you know, their scholarship would pay for that, and it was tax money. But there's always cheese in a mousetrap because you would have to follow government protocols in certain areas. And I'm sure that if we let them in nowadays, that it would only, you know, be a matter of time before we're having to teach stuff that we don't agree with.
So here's what I think, because I spent a career teaching developmentally handicapped. We call them slow learners, call them a lot of things, developmentally handicapped. The entire government school system is developmentally handicapped. It teaches children nothing about their spiritual condition. Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing is taught to them. They're developmentally handicapped. Or if they're a little bit smarter, they're developmentally delayed, right? And they're doing it on purpose. Sorry, Dale. Go ahead, Dale.
No, Coach, look, you know, I have a lot to say on these issues. First thing is I like that little line I hear quite often. Well, I'm sending my children there. They're missionaries. And I'm like, yeah, you won't even go to one board meeting as a Christian, right? To hold these people's feet to the fire. But you'll send your kids into that schoolroom every single day. So I want to paraphrase Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. So, and it says this. I'm going to paraphrase this, and it says, and they built their schools of high places to Baal, which is in the valley of slaughter, the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the indoctrination of Molech, which I've not commanded them, neither has it come into my mind to do such an abomination. Let me tell you what, Coach, my wife and I sacrificed our careers. She was going to be a doctor and I was going to own restaurants. And we laid on the barbed wire. See, these parents, let me tell you what, say whatever you want, get mad, whatever. You're unwilling to lay down your career to sacrifice your life to homeschool your children. Let's just call it. Because what they did in those days when they offered their sons and daughters to the fires of Molech, they believe it was bringing crop, right? Bringing produce, bringing in their commodities for their lifestyle. And that's exactly what happens here with the public schools.
Amen, Dale. And we've been programmed that way. Yeah, it's been programmed. We don't want to see the ones who should be blowing the trumpet and clearing the path are the men standing in the pulpit. Because where else is a person? You folks, the parents go to work wherever they go to work, and they're surrounded by non-believers. Surrounded by non-believers or token believers. So they don't really get it. They don't really understand. They don't want to believe it's going on in their school. Oh, that may be happening in the inner city. That's not happening at our school. That's where we are with it. Spencer, I just sent you a video. Get it up, get it ready to play. And Roger, come on back in. Or is it same Roger? Come on in, Roger.
Yes, Coach. I just want to tell you, I had a good friend who in the church who decided to take his kid out of Christian school and send it to the public school because he said that he needs to know how to get along with the world and to reach it. Well, the kid went off the deep end, and I got to tell you, I was in that church and I ministered with his kid in groups and classes, and I don't believe his kid was even saved.
Uh-huh.
So this is two problems. We think we got to send kids to the public schools. You know, some people think they have to be able to deal with the world, but a lot of the people in the churches, they're nominal believers. They may have gone through the motions of it, but if they're not really saved, they're not ready for nothing because
that's it. That's it. And the war's intensifying.
The just Christians in name only, you know.
Roger, you talk about just feeding your children to Moloch, right? That's all we feed our children right into the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
We do. Church is cheerleading because they got a good football team. Their volleyball team's good. And by the way, the pastor's daughter, well, she made it to the state finals in golf. I'm just telling you the truth. Roger Weaver wants to come back in. Come on, Roger.
Well, this idea that your kid's going to be a great influence in the high schools. I taught high school boys for about 8 years till I got fired.
Sunday school.
Yeah, Sunday school. High school boys. I taught the stud basketball player who everybody liked and the girls all wanted to date. And I taught the kid that was a goofy kid. None of them were doing squat in their high school. I'm sorry. Now we enjoyed Sunday. We taught, but this idea that you're going to send them into a missionary place or whatever you want to call it and think they're going to be out there witnessing for Christ is a fallacy. I'm sorry. This is 8 years every Sunday teaching these guys. encouraging them. There'd be a little bit of action, but not much, Dave. You know, just, you know, maybe I was a poor teacher, but just, you know, very little. It just doesn't work that way.
The same reason that I got booted at FCA. Exact same reason. They want a passive Christianity. They want a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. From such men turn away. It's what the scripture says. They want to look like Christians, smell like Christians, and dress like Christians. I'm just telling you. I know it firsthand. I know it firsthand. I got guys who want to get in there. Go ahead. Mark, come on, Mark Trump, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, why is it this way? Well, what has happened, right? So let's think about biblically the times before Noah. What was it like before the Watchers influenced society? What was Noah's time like? Everyone lived. They didn't have Watchers. They believed in God, right? But when the Watchers started influencing the people, more than half the people became modified by the Watchers over time. And now you got half the people or less that is being oppressed by this wave of evil. So the schools, when the schools were full of children, when the pastors were teaching proper doctrine, the children were all like-minded. But the children are so divided by the parents' lack of Christianity, Coach, that they don't have a compass. So now you got a school full of people not like-minded, and you got a few Christian kids, you know, that want to bond and want to do their thing, and a few Muslim kids and a few whatever kids. And that's what's happened, is just like the times before Noah, so shall be, Coach. And part of it is the oppression of society and this fit-in thing that everyone's mentioning. Okay, we're not supposed to fit in. Think about Noah. Did he fit in? Noah didn't fit in.
No, Jesus didn't fit in.
Jesus didn't fit in. The disciples didn't fit in after they changed.
Yeah.
Oh, they fit in fine up until they changed.
Yep.
Coach, it's been the same thing all along, because when Rome moved in, there was more of that than Judaism, and that disrupted the Sadducees and Pharisees' control.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got the whole earth moving into the friggin' United States. Everyone wants to come here and make it this ugly, ugly place that they've made it. And it's all these cultures. And that's why this group of Christians now don't have a voice. And it's only a few of us left.
Amen.
We've dwindled. And the rest of these diverse groups have to get along. And that's where diversity and inclusion comes from. It's because everyone's different now. There's no moral compass. We got to get along. So here, drink some of this Kool-Aid. And I hate it, Coach.
Me too.
But it's because of the moral majority is immoral.
Amen. The moral majority isn't. That's right, brother. Well said. Man, oh man. Dan, come on in. Adam, come on in. I'm sorry, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, we keep telling people we have to love each other into the kingdom, and you have to ask Jesus into your heart. But it's not anything about that. We have to ask Jesus in as Lord. When he becomes Lord, he becomes your Savior. He gives you a new heart. But we've wussified the gospel. And that's why we have weak men in the church that don't stand up on their own two feet and speak the truth. Amen. At least that's my opinion.
Amen, brother. Amen. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Craig Mickle. Come on, Craig.
So, remember, Coach, we were talking about 1954 yesterday.
I do.
So why don't you put 1954 and Brown in there? That might be an interesting thing.
1954 and Brown.
It was the Supreme Court.
Board of Education.
That's right. That's right. And you've talked about that before, right?
Yep.
How profound that was.
Yep.
And so we're dealing 70 years. Okay, so God's allowed things to go for 70 years. And now we need to understand, like the sons of Issachar, the times that we live in. You're at the 70-year mark, folks.
Yeah. Amen. It's good then. Let's upset the apple cart. Jeff.
Coach, what did you say? October is Suicide Prevention Month for the kids in the schools. So that little group picture there, and kids, 22% of them would like think about killing themselves. And what are we doing in some of the churches? October, trunk or treat.
Hey, Jeff, they're killing babies in the womb, and the church doesn't say a peep. I get you, man.
Yep.
This is from Matt Truella. Where are the men? Go ahead.
Message. Please, as our government has become more lawless, a popular question has become, where are the men? People are asking this question because most of those showing up at public hearings to confront the tyranny are women. Hence the question, where are the men? First off, understand that men have been under attack by design of the government for over 50 years here in America. A short perusal of our laws, policies, and court opinions demonstrate that. Entertainment news media reveal that. We live in a matriarchal hell. And worse yet, the vast majority of churchmen have joined the state and the men haters in effeminizing men via their mimini pimini pulpits. The spirituality of churchmen now is measured by how soft and ladylike they are.
Amen.
Yet, the question remains legitimate. Where are the men? And more pointedly, where are the men who fear God and have love and fealty to Christ? The men who cannot live in peaceful coexistence with the idols and evils and tyrants who trample the law and word of God. Where are they? The book of Acts reveals a Christianity wholly opposite of the current form of Christianity. In Acts 17, for example, there is a conflict between the people of Thessalonica and the Christians. The Jews and the evil men gathered there against Paul and Silas and the Christians, accused the Christians to the civil authorities, stating, quote, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." End of quote. This is classic Christianity in action. True Christianity confronts the false religions and paganism of the cultures, whether it's with the Jews and evil men here in chapter 17, or the followers of Diana in chapter 19, or the streets of post-Christian America in our day. True Christianity comes into conflict with the religion and idols of cultures. True Christianity confronts the idols and evils and tyrants of nations. These who have turned the world upside down, this means those who are declaring something contrary to what we have known. To them, this was an attack upon their filthy way of life, a possible end to their status quo. They have turned the world upside down. They are acting contrary to Caesar's decrees. They are declaring another king's rule. And this brings a conflict. And we have to ask, where are these kind of men in our day? The world is screaming for these kind of men. Men who love God, who have fealty to Christ, men who will speak, men who will act. But most churchmen and Christian men in our day want nothing to do with conflict. They do not want to confront the idols and evil and tyrants of their day. They teach that we should conform to the evil edicts of Caesar, that there should never be a conflict, and if there is, those Christians causing it are bad Christians, that we are always to obey the state, that conflict is bad, confrontation should be avoided, accommodation and appeasement should be sought. The effeminate who fill America's pulpits in our days sit in their pious rot, swallowing camels and straining at gnats, and it is grievous to the hearts of men.
Amen.
And so I ask again, where are these men? We must shake ourselves, brothers. Where are these men? We must be those men.
Amen.
We must be those men in our day. We must shake ourselves free, brothers, from American Christianity. It is nothing more than a cheap whore which will sell itself for a morsel, consumed with its narcissism and its consumerism and its pedestalism. Brethren, we must be those kind of men. We need a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, brothers. Let us speak. Let us act. Let us confront. Let us not flee from the conflict. but rather let our hearts burn within us when we see the law and word of God being impugned by men and the governments of men. And may we confront it. Let us be those men. Thank you for taking time to listen to this important message. Please click on the link in the detail box below to listen to the sermon out of Acts 17 entitled, Where Are the Men? I preached it just before the so-called pandemic back in February of 2020. And from there, you can listen to all my sermons from the book of Acts.
Boom.
So Spencer, pull up for me Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples that he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples who had come to prison to visit him. And they said unto him, go ask him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and do see. So the disciples come and say, are you the one? They locked you up, dude. We've been following you. You're the one. Jesus said, listen, you go tell John to remember and show him those things that you're seeing is going on here, okay? What are those things that are going on? Well, the blind receive their sight. That could be actual physical sight. That could be spiritual sight. The blind receive their sight. The lame learn to get up off of the freaking pew and walk. The lepers, the ones who are rotten inside and outside, they get cleansed. Spiritually here, wake up. And those who can't hear all of a sudden start hearing the word of the Lord. And the dead are raised up again. What? And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. Dale, I know you don't do booms. Would you do me a boom right there? Blessed is he who
boom!
Shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes, concerning John, because they're asking, he's in jail. Pastor Bill's in jail. Isaac Yoder, he's out now, but he was in jail. My buddies are in jail, Pastor. What are we going to do, Pastor? And as they departed, Jesus began to say, death here, the dead are raised, the poor are the gospel preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed their gripe session with Jesus, Jesus began to say to anybody who'd listen to him, what did you guys go out in the wilderness to see? You want to see some coward? Is that what you went out there to see? Some guy dressed up, what? Did you go out to see a reed shaking in the wind? What is wrong with y'all? Looking for a man of God? What would one look like? Verse 8, but what did you go out to see? A pastor dressed in nice clothes? All puffed up and looking good? Perfect lighting on him in the pulpit? Would you go out to see a man clothed in soft clothing? Behold, they that wear the soft clothing, they're hiding in the king's house. Now, hey, they're on the king's team. Uh-oh. Who's the king in America? The government. They're on the government's team, baby. But what'd you go out to see, a prophet? Oh, yeah. I say unto you, it's more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I send to all of you who stand here right now, among them that are ever born of a woman, nobody, there ain't never been any man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. By the way, where is John the Baptist at that moment? Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and all the violent take it by force. Now, when you hear force, you think guns and knives and bombs? What's that they've been using those? Randy's shown us how to take it by force. Every place we put our feet given to us is an inheritance. But you got to go and you got to stand and you got to speak. You can't cower. We're cowering in front of ungodly men. We're fearful of ungodly women. Sorry, Roger. We're fearful of ungodly women. Where are the men? Where are the men? You got any testosterone in you at all? They're going to run you out of the church. Somebody say amen for me. Let me show you this, okay?
Amen.
Play number 9. This is where we're heading. This is where we're heading, folks. This is John Kerry. Now stop a minute. When you think of the political leaders that we have in America, who anointed this guy? How did he become a leader? I could run down a litany of them. I'm looking up the screen up here. People that we put in positions of authority. Who are these guys? So here's John Kerry. I wish John Kerry would go join Pete Rose. That's what I really wish would happen. And listen what John Kerry, who nearly was president of the United States, although he got beat really badly. Listen to what he says about free speech. Go ahead. Hey, folks. Seed of the serpent, right here. Seed of the serpent. Go ahead.
The dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. The referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact have kind of, been eviscerated to a certain degree.
Hang on. Who would those referees would have been? Walter Cronkite? Was he the one that told us what was right and wrong? So in other words, Kerry's mad that there are more people than just the ones they selected to give you the information. They had Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and Huntley and Brinkley and those guys, they told us what was going on. He's mad because other people are telling you what's going on and it ain't the same story. Keep playing.
And people go and that people self-select where they go for their news or for their information. And then you just get into a vicious cycle. So it's really, really hard, much harder to build consensus today than at any time in the 45, 50 years I've been involved in this. And there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change. Now, obviously, there are some people in our country who are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
so
that's
you're
where
questioning really if democracy can survive unregulated media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven.
We're not a democracy. Go ahead.
And they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
Will we break the fever in the United States? What did he say? 54 years? Did he say that? He's been governing for 54 years. And what's he mad about? We're waking up to the two-card Monty they're playing against us. And the only way they're going to be able to do it is they don't let us tell the truth. Oh, I got a thousand things. Let's finish up with Greg Locke. Throw Greg Locke in there real quick. I got 5 minutes. Yeah, Randy, they're losing their narrative. They're losing. Greg Locke put it at the 1 minute, 34-second mark. The blessings of endurance. Hey, look, you don't have to be a Greg Locke fan to say he's right here. You don't have to be a Coach Dave fan to agree with me every once in a while. And when he says something that's right, I amen him. Go ahead.
If I was on the ballot, you would still be voting for the lesser of two evils. That's just the facts. Okay, that's just the facts. But some of you are like, well, you know, I love God and I want to do my responsibility, but I think I'm just not going to vote. A no vote is a her vote, 1,000%. Huh? A no vote is a her vote. And that's just the facts. And by the way, I'm going to say one more thing because I got to get to the text. Okay, look, I got daughters. I'm married to a woman. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. But I'm going to tell you something. Did you know in the Bible, a woman political leader was a judgment from God? Show me one time it was a blessing. I know that chaps you're hiding. That guy, you're just a misogynist. No, I'm just a realist. If you think a woman president is going to respond the same way as a man president, you need to stop smoking meth. It's not going to happen. She's not going to be calling the shots anyhow. Her earbud has Obama on the other end of it. But nonetheless, I just thought I'd talk a little bit today. Amen. I done went viral on TikTok, my son said, for politics. So I thought I'd just step into a little bit of it. I'm just saying, if you think things are about to get easier, they're not. They're about to get a whole lot worse. It's about to get bad, 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 bad. And people can hate me, but when I die, my kids will say, my daddy fought for my freedom. They pick those up before I stomp them, amen. So anyhow, I don't know where all that came from, but nonetheless, stop disrespecting the people of the past by trying to appease the people in the present.
Amen. Okay, one more thing. Pull up number three. I got a couple minutes left here. Huh? Pull up number three. Despotism. No, I don't have time for it. That's not the one. I don't have time for it. I don't have time. Oh, my goodness. What I want you to see. That's it. Come on in. Somebody wrap it up for me here. Come on. Craig.
You can get Spence to pull up that last link in there. Okay. So on September 20th, Hillary Clinton is making a speech and it's about disinformation. But what was John Kerry saying? We can't control the narrative. This should cause you to have a little heartburn because they're really concerned that they're losing the narrative. They'll do anything they can to reestablish the narrative.
Hey, Craig. Blacks are not voting for Kamala. They're not voting. Union members are not voting for Kamala, right? Folks, we know this. Everything they're telling you about the election is a fraud. It is not happening. Men are not going to vote for that woman. So hear me. They're desperate. They're capable of about anything right now. Strike's coming. The food supply is going to get cut off. Banks are failing. We're in the middle of like nothing that we've ever seen. Go get some food, get some cash, stock up, get some ammo. You're ready, baby. Yeah. Sunday morning coming down. That was another good Chris Christopherson song. Sunday morning coming down. See you tomorrow.